welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you have tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we're going to pick up our study here in John chapter 9. The man that has been healed by the Lord Jesus, he was born blind. The disciples wonder who has sinned. The Lord sets him straight, saying, neither the man nor his parents have sinned, but this man was born blind and has been blind all these years from childhood to adulthood, that the works of God may be made manifest in him. Are you willing for the works of God to be made manifest in you? Oh, may God help us that we would yield to the Lord, that we would trust in the Lord, that we would know His plan and believe that His plan and His way is right and good. May the Lord help us in that. This man was going to be used of the Lord. The Lord's going to save him, heal him, save him, and then use this man to be a great witness and testimony to the religious leadership and the people of this day. It's amazing. A beggar brought to the point of exhorting and admonishing and even rebuking the leadership of the day. It's amazing. The Lord heals the man by taking spittle of clay or clay of the spittle that he gets from the ground and anoints the man's eyes. He sends him to the pool of Siloam. The man goes and obeys the Lord and washes and comes seeing. His neighbors that marvel at what's going on, they take him to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees deal with him and question him so much so that the parents are brought in and they're asked, is this your son? And was he indeed born blind? Because they didn't believe that he was. And then when they come to know and they can't refute that he was born blind and that now he can see, they tell him, give God the praise, and that the Lord Jesus, they say, is a sinner. And there's no way that God can be working in him. But the man says, wait a minute, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. What I know is I was born blind and now I can see. And that's the way it is with sinners that are saved too. And so they ask him about what the Lord did to him. And then he really challenges them. We took a look at this last time, but he challenges them in this. I want to read these verses again, verse 30. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. And we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And so he really puts it on him here in that he says, listen, you guys are the leadership, the spiritual leadership of the nation. I've been listening to you all my life. You say you have the word of God, the word of Moses, the law given by God to Moses and down to today. And here, this man has done something that's never been recorded in the scripture, and that he's made one to see that was born blind, and you don't know where he's from. Such a miracle could not be worked unless it was the power of God. If this man were not of God, verse 33, he could do nothing. And so what they resort to, what the Pharisees, the Jews resort to, they said, well, you're just a sinner and you were born in sins. They take the position that the disciples were asking about at the beginning, weren't they? This man's blind, so somebody had to have sinned. But the Lord says, no, neither one of them has sinned. They take the position, that same position, the kind of a superstitious kind of position, and said, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us, verse number 34. And they took him and they pitch him out. Isn't that something? And so the Lord uses this man and the power of God manifested in Jesus Christ, because he is God. And it's a condemnation and a rebuke to the leadership of the day. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Listen to what he says. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. See, is there salvation of the soul without worship? I think we have all seen at times, and if we are saved and truly understand the working and operation of God, we see those that claim salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, but are never found worshiping him, never found praising him, never found proclaiming their great debt unto him. This man, he's ready. He is hearing. He is seeing, is he not? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Believe on the Son of God. That's it. Not in a series of doctrines or a system of teaching. Not in some plan, but rather the man of salvation, the Lord Jesus. He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? He's ready to submit, isn't he? He can see. A great work has been worked in him. And praise the Lord that not only did the Lord heal him, which was a great and wonderful thing, but he brought into the man, look at this, the man's not looking for Jesus, but Jesus, when he'd heard that he'd been cast out, and the Lord knew what he said, didn't he? When the Lord heard that he cast him out, Jesus found him. He found him. He says, Do you believe on the Son of God? And the man answers, Who is he, Lord? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him. You've seen him. He healed him, didn't he? Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. It's me. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And so he believes, and he worships the Lord. Worship. That's what is due the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what's due God Almighty. Is the worship and praise of his name. To bow down before him in the heart. To bow down before him on the knees. And to worship him. And then here the Lord, he tells about the purpose of this entire affair. And makes it clear and brings it truly to the spiritual necessity and need of man. And Jesus said, verse 39, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. What's this all about? He says, For judgment I am come into the world. The Lord Jesus Christ is looking and came to make a distinction. It says in other places in the Gospels that the Lord Jesus Christ came that they would not have a cloak. There would be no cloak for the sin of the nation of Israel and the Jews and the religious leadership of the day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees and such. He came to pull that cloak right off. He came to expose it. I've come for judgment. For judgment am I come into this world. He's the dividing line of truth, the Lord is. And he's going to reveal that which is not right and manifest that which is right and good. He is bringing salvation. The climax of salvation is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. He says that they which see not might see. That's the way it was with this man. He could not see. And the thing is, the man begged alms, but he had no hope of anything else. But Jesus visited him. Jesus brought the word of truth unto him. And then it says here that they which see might be made blind. He says those, and we know this from the coming verses, that those that claim that they can see, what needs to happen to them is they be made blind. Or they make a claim that they know God and they have the Word of God, and in that they are deluded and oppressed, and it might be known that they really don't know about the Lord. For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, so the blind be made to see, and they which see might be made blind. They have a claim of knowing, just like these had, just like the man said in verse 30, why herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. You know, you say you know about God, but you don't know about this man. He said, that's a marvel. That is just a marvel that that's the case. No man could do what this man's done unless the power of God was upon him and with him. And you don't know him, and you claim you know everything about God. I'm verse 39, for judgment I am come into this world that they which see might not see, that they which see not, rather, might see, and they which see might be made blind. I think there's a thing there that it might be revealed. There were those amongst the leadership, Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, that were brought by the Lord to a place to where they understood that they were blind and needed to see, and they were saved by the Lord. The Pharisees hear what the Lord says in verse 40, and some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? He's asking. They're asking, are you saying we're blind? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin, because you could be made to see by me and be forgiven. You could be forgiven. If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, we get it. They claim that they understand it. They understand the Word of God, and that they believe that they're in fellowship with God, and they believe that they're following God. But now you say, we see, and your sin remains. Because, see, they don't see. They see themselves as righteous in their self-righteousness. They don't see themselves as sinners before the Lord in need of repentance and salvation by the Lord. How about you? Are you pursuing self-righteousness and how you can make yourself good enough to come to God? It won't work. You're blind. You're blind. You say you see, but you're really, really blind. Oh, see that you're blind and you need a Savior. You need one that can heal you, and that only one is Jesus. And repent. Repent of your sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And cry out unto Him for salvation and for mercy, and be saved. I see that our time is past for now. May the Lord bless you with His Word and His truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.